Well, 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 well. As the internet continues to do what it does, first of all, I'm really proud of you all. Keep up the pressure, because I do think that there is real tangible change that is happening, real tangible effects that are happening to Bud Light. People just have to stay vigilant. I've got a second story on it later, how they're basically hiding off social media. And now we found probably the source of all of this. Their vice president, who essentially admitted that she hated their customers, and purposely wanted to change who their customer was, and probably knew that endorsing this particular individual would push away the people that she hated. So let's make sure we all spread the message. Leave a like on it right now. When the video is done, make sure you share it so everyone knows. From, you know, who may consider drinking Bud Light, or maybe know someone who does, that Bud Light actually hates them and does not want them as a customer. So Bud Light's marketing VP was inspired to update, quote, fratty, out of touch branding. Now we have this video here. Bud Light VP Alyssa Heinerscheid, in order to save the, quote, declining brand, they needed to attract young drinkers with an inclusive campaign that appeals to both men and women. Not very inclusive of her to use binary language like this. Less than 2 weeks after these statements were published, Heinerscheid managed to alienate men and denigrate women by sponsoring a con man dressed as a woman. Mission accomplished. Let's see here.
Oh, I'm a businesswoman.
You're a businesswoman. You're a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was...
You're a VP of marketing. You didn't take over Bud Light. There's about 75 people above you, but I digress.
This brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time. And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And what I brought to that was a belief in, okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it does if you're some Ivy League educated drone who's been, you know, spoon-fed this stuff nonstop.
It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive. Ooh. And feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men.
Then why did you hire Dylan Mulvaney? Because I don't think Dylan Mulvaney appeals to either one of them.
Mm-hmm. And representation is at sort of the heart of evolution. You've got to see people who reflect you in the work. And we had this hangover. I mean, Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out of touch humor.
Oh, no.
And it was really important that we had another approach.
So we went and we hired a man that does woman face. That's essentially who this is, right? Like, hey, I mean, by the way, I don't know. I'm not a part of the sales team for Bud Light. Maybe their sales were in decline. I'm not sure hiring a man who makes being a woman a mockery. Let's see some of the replies. Meet Alyssa Heinerscheid, Bud Light's VP of marketing. She explains her strategy of using, quote, inclusive marketing to promote the brand to young people. These people are evil. Now, let's not put it all on this individual, by the way. She's just the VP, which means there's probably a president of marketing or a CMO, chief marketing officer, who approved this. I mean, you see here, DC Journal, and there it is. Bud Light went woke and recently hired Alyssa Heinerscheid, a woke Ivy League graduate, as the woman to lead their marketing for their major beer brand. She's also now the first woman to destroy the largest beer brand in the industry. Congrats. Bud Light signals new era in marketing. The Super Bowl will kick off. So she wrote, as the first woman, oh my God, one of these people, as the first woman to lead the biggest beer brand in the world, it's an amazing opportunity to really evolve and elevate Bud Light. This brand I love, said Heinerscheid. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you drink a lot of Bud Light over at Yale. The Bud Light commercial, which will air during the Super Bowl, features actor Miles Teller and his wife, Kylie, and it's called Hold. I don't know any of these people, and I don't care. Again, you have all of this, the Super Bowl commercial. It's easy to drink. It's easy to enjoy. Again, you have someone who really has no idea who their actual customers are. None whatsoever. Bud Light's vice president says she wanted to update the fratty and out-of-touch branding with inclusivity days before Dylan Mulvaney's controversial partnership with the beer was unveiled. By the way, have you left a like on the video yet? Like, these videos are really getting traction, and it's really having an effect. And by the way, don't buy Bud Light. They hate you. They think you're fratty. They think you're out of touch. They don't want your money. They want elites' money. They want Ivy League school money. They want woke liberals on the coasts' money. Okay, let them have it. Heinerscheid, 39, gave her expertise just 3 days before the furious backlash that was unleashed. Now the company is reeling from its controversial marketing strategy and has not even posted on its official Twitter account in more than a week. Again, people, it's working. If you thought it wasn't, I mean, that's why they're literally afraid to post. Although Heinerscheid said Bud Light's brand is on the wane, it remains the flagship beer of parent company Anheuser-Busch. So also, are you lying? If it's the number one product that they have, what do you mean it's in decline? You know, like, what does that mean? Are you just making that up? And oopsie doopsie, looks like we've lost 3% of the stock today. Look at this drop off. This matters. This backlash is working. You're talking about billions of dollars that they've lost in market cap here, by the way, or hundreds of millions at the least. Their market cap's $132 billion. Well, actually, it says $112 billion. And now it's gone significantly down. So, yes, they are losing hundreds of millions of dollars in the stock market. The Belgian multinational is the world's largest brewer, saw its profits rise above expectations by more than 7%. Wait a minute, I thought it was in decline. It reported last month its core profit earnings before interest, appreciation, and amortization was $4.95 billion. Heinerscheid previously worked as a marketing guru at InBev before moving and taking the helm as Bud Light's vice president in July. Her LinkedIn profile proudly states that she's the first female to lead the largest beer brand in the industry. She told the Make Yourself at Home podcast that she was convinced Bud Light must incorporate inclusivity, and that means shifting tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different. Heinerscheid claimed she had a super clear mandate to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. I would be willing to bet this person will get fired soon if the pressure stays on. Asked by the host about what she was bringing to the table at Bud Light, Heinerscheid said, "I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. This brand is in decline." Heinerscheid previously worked at Johnson & Johnson as a brand manager for Listerine. Okay, well, that makes sense that you'd advertise Bud Light. Prior to this, she was a marketing team for Cheerios. She was educated at the $60,000 a year Groton School in Massachusetts before going on to Harvard, where she studied English literature. And then business school at Wharton. She went to Wharton, Harvard, and a $60,000 a year private school. So she's super rich and always has been. Probably never drank a Bud Light in her life. You know, and you see the account has gone a few days without tweeting in the past. The official Twitter account is typically active as they are on regular other social media. The feed has tweeted 10 times in the prior to 7 days. So the entire brand is being held hostage as the stock plummets. Good. keep it up. We talked about, you know, this individual here who works and stocks the shelves.
I work for an affiliate company. I am a merchandiser, and these
merchandisers keep the shop, many of the stocked items at grocery stores. I've shown this guy before, just to cap it up and bring it home.
Sole product of the company I work for is Anheuser-Busch products. So with all this canceling going on, I've never seen such little sales in this past few days on these products. And it's sad because when people don't buy this beer, I don't make money, and I can't feed my family.
Keep the pressure up out there, everyone, and support companies that actually want to support you. First and foremost, obviously, the only important people to remember after this video will be the people that are no longer with us today. I feel conflicted reporting on this kind of stuff, but what I'm very interested in, what I think is really important, is how it gets reported in the mainstream press. And I don't think that it's being gets reported in an honest fashion, which is what I want to try to do here. I think it goes without saying that this individual, you know, I'm going to do my best not to show their loser face, is a piece of garbage, a coward. And I'm not quite sure why these lunatics can't simply just embrace the fact that if they don't want to be with us anymore, okay, now I wish they would get help. I really do. But if they don't want to be with us anymore, there's literally no rule saying they have to take other people with them. Now, what's interesting about this situation, based on what I've been able to gather in the early states here, this person appeared to be relatively political, left-leaning, and some Instagram messages may indicate, it's starting to paint a picture, which is extremely curious. So I'm not going to go through the specific details. What we know is one loser entered the building. They're no longer with us. As well as two different police officers were injured. One of them is in critical condition, and several other people did not survive the day. We know that a text message was sent, apparently to a friend, that said, "Hey, I'm feeling like I don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to go do this thing." You know, at no point, I don't know if there was a call made to the PD after that. It's hard to say. I think there needs to be some more information out there, more advice to people when they get these type of text messages. What the heck do you do? Well, I think if you want my advice, is even if it's a friend or family member, somebody you love, you just got to call the police. You just have to. You have to try and do your best you can to get them, you know, look, they're arrested but alive. We saw this exact same situation just play out in Colorado. You know, nobody else was hurt. This person got arrested. Hopefully they'll get the help they need. So there was, now this is purported. This is surfacing around the internet. We also know there are several rumors that this individual streamed the entire event on their Instagram. And that stream remained live until the very end. Their Instagram account has now been deleted. This is being reported, so it's an early scene, so who knows? Maybe that's totally made up. I'm not digging for that video, all right? And nobody should. I think I know there's a morbid curiosity, but it's just something that you can't unsee. And as somebody who's been around the internet for a long time, there's just some things you don't need to see. But apparently there was this group of messages sent. One thing that looks suspicious to me is the way they overlap. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know if that's normal, but the way they overlap seems suspicious. But you have this. It says they won't listen to words or protests. Let's see if they hear this. And the Monday vibes from Office Space. And then Looks like a Star Wars The Last Jedi thing. Again, I'm not sure. This could be fake because it doesn't, you know, it's like, I'm not sure. The way they overlap like this, I don't use Instagram. So again, take that one with a grain of salt. There's other interesting information being tied to the same individual who had an Instagram account removed, obviously, as well as a Reddit account under the same name. Is it possible that it's a Redditor who has the exact same Instagram account? Yes. But this was shared by Sebastian Gorka. They're already wiping all of this loser's social media. There were anti-Trump, pro-lockdown posts on a Reddit account under with the same name at the already nuked Twitter account. This is another Democrat. Now, again, I want to point out. Yeah, I want to report on this. These are the facts. Mental illness, obviously, is an issue. It's the biggest issue here. Just is. I don't love how it's being politicized immediately, but I think it's important to report on the fact that it appears to be that way, and it may color how it's actually covered going forward. They apparently had this flexing today. Wow, how did you get so buff? Every time Trump tweets some racist stuff, I do one push-up. It's pretty tame lefty stuff, not militant. You know, again, if it's that person. Then you see this one, finding an excuse to stay in without being a bad person. They posted this. Health officials advise people to work at home, postpone gatherings. I mean, also saying bring it on. Again, so he was pro-lockdown and he didn't like Trump. I don't know that these individual tweets themselves are like, you know, militant or indication of a like TDS. We also know that his LinkedIn profile proudly featured his pronouns, he and him. There's absolutely no indication that they are, you know, some sort of individual who was any part of any community, probably just a normal run-of-the-mill Democrat leftist, mid-20s banker. Definitely a narrative breaker, something very, very odd. You know, this is not the type of person that you would expect to do this. Now, for a thought experiment, if that Instagram post is real, did they get it in their warped mind that, oh, I'm just going to go do another event with the same tool that we're trying to get banned so that people will ban it? I don't know. You know, it's really bizarre. There's another article here. Again, this Instagram post is making the rounds, but I don't like how it overlaps. That doesn't seem normal unless that's one image. You know, they're all like to the left and to the right. I'm not sure if anyone can tell me or identify, you know, what would make that real. It appears that he did use a he was not he did use a long weapon. I don't know which one. Obviously, if it's the super scary one, we're gonna know about that pretty quick. The other information that we have, obviously, is, you know, many people are no longer with us, four minimum, and nine injured, and maybe not all of them are going to make it. They also know that he was streaming it on Instagram, and he warned that he was considering this and going to go after workers. This is the thing. In both scenarios, in the last two, both in both scenarios, both in Nashville and now in Louisville, people sent out these text messages. You said a former bank, this says a former bank employee. I want to get to the part where he sent a text. The 25-year-old worker reportedly texted a friend before the event saying that he was feeling like he didn't want to be around anymore and he was going to go do exactly what he did do. Initial indications told of the worker being called to his place of employment despite it being closed to public on Easter Monday, where it was thought he was to be fired. So, He's just, so it looks like maybe this is not any kind of political, you just have a lunatic piece of garbage. Again, these are, this is according to scallywagandvagabond.com. Okay. Now, I did see a lot of these messages floating around Twitter and, the text message that happened. So, if he was going to get fired, perhaps that's what indicated it, and it's going to be interesting because netizens reported that the loser's Instagram profile was being removed following claims that he live streamed the unfolding incident. It looks like, this is a disgruntled employee. If these Instagram posts are real, obviously that's interesting. That may prove to be more of an incident, but you also had, obviously a lot of other incidents here or a lot of other potential reasons. I don't know. I feel, helpless with this kind of stuff because it's like, what makes somebody do this? What drives somebody to this level? What incentivizes this to them? What justifies this to them? I don't know. I don't think that, I think that it's obviously the ultimate act of cowardice, especially in this particular situation, where we had another location where, carrying personal protection is prohibited. So you go in a situation where that people can't defend themselves. From what I also understand, the situation is police dispatched this individual, good for them, having two injuries among them, plus other, just completely helpless people. This country has a mental health issue combined with, I think a general malaise to when people make these kind of statements or threats. I think part of what needs to change is that if people start taking, making these kind of statements, it's time to go on involuntary psychological evaluation. I don't know, I don't know, right? There's not a perfect solution for for everything. But, if somebody says something like this, maybe there should be a huge reward. You successfully report something like this and it gets stopped. How about $100,000? What if you offered that? You might say, oh, well, they're going to get flooded tips. Okay, fine. If it stops even one of these, people get mired in the take all away, take away, nobody needs an AR, we need to get rid of them all to the shall not be infringed, and then nothing changes. But in the meantime, nobody even tries anything. So it sucks. I hate reporting on it. For right now, it does not seem like it's politically motivated. It does, of course, seem this person was a Democrat and didn't like Trump and perhaps some other things, but this sucks. Oh, now I must defend Ethan Klein. It is one of the most difficult things I have to do. But in this case, I think as much as it might pain Ethan to defend me on a fair use issue, I would suspect that he would. Maybe he wouldn't. But I do think deep down he's got some levels of scruples. And I would hope that my record over the years of defending him when he's in the right would weigh some have some value, although maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But this is an interesting case where he basically is getting robbed of $620,000. And at least he admits in his own words that, like, I don't have no idea how he got in this situation. Well, I guess I do now, but it turns out he uses an MCN. Now, I will be fair and explain why he does because it does make sense. But for every other YouTube content creator on the planet, you do not need an MCN. They will tell you that you need them, but you do not. Now, as a YouTuber, if you make money on YouTube, you get a small percentage of the ads that run on YouTube. YouTube, I forget what the exact, but it's like 50-50 or 70-30 or something, like 45-35 or something like that. So advertisers pay YouTube, Google really, to run ads. Then Google runs the ads on your videos and you get a small chunk of that. That's what how YouTubers make their money. They also make their money by memberships, which are a Twitch Prime, a Twitch kind of thing where members can pay $5 a month, $10 a month to support their favorite creators or to get access to various other things. MCNs are a dinosaur of the old internet where people who could not get monetized, like from the Machinima days, video game days, people who could not get monetized or YouTube just didn't allow them into the monetized, they could still earn money from their videos by joining with an MCN. An MCN is a secondary marketplace that also sells ads. Now they will, in my experience, many of them will lie to creators, even big creators. I get emails every day from people like BBTV, and including them, I've gotten emails from them, I'm almost certain, where they're like, hey, let us manage your money and you'll make even more than you're going to make on YouTube. Source, trust me, bro. But the reason Ethan Klein uses an MCN actually is reasonable. When you're a YouTuber, one of the dumbest rules with AdSense is, and that's how we get paid, is that you can only ever have one AdSense account. So I have this channel, for example, I have Community Notes that is a partnership with Sydney Watson. I also have this new project which launches this week, which is another partnership. And it creates a huge mess where I have to take all the money and then split it up around everywhere else because Google won't let you have separate AdSense accounts, even if you're like have separate corporations set up. It's really dumb. Also, for example, Sydney still gets paid in Australian dollars and cannot change that. So this is what happened to Ethan Klein. He was still getting paid because when he set it up, he was in Israel and the money was going to an Israeli bank. It was getting paid in that currency or whatever the case is. So a workaround was to go with an MCN so they could pay him in USD back here in the country. So that's why he did it. I don't know if it's because he was getting demonetized too or whatever the case is. So he signs with an MCN, even though Lord knows he should have known better. Over the years, seemingly everything had been fine because the way the agreement was set up was that Ethan was going to get 100% of the ad revenue that his channel earned. And BBTV, this MCN, this middleman, was going to get a bigger chunk of any ad reads they might deliver. That's the new pitch they do, by the way. Again, if you're a creator, you do not need an MCN. Don't ever sign up for one. Okay. I've said that a half dozen times now. Now, when they come to me, they say, oh, yeah, I mean, you're doing fine on Google AdSense. We want 10% of that or some percentage of that. But if you won't give us that, we'll get you ad reads from Nike and Honda and they're going to pay you $10,000 an ad read, and this is additional ad reads that you wouldn't have gotten before. So this is how they suck in new people, because it's hard to get good ad reads. You know, I work hard. I have a full-time employee, and her entire job is, you know, finding things for me to sell. And because, you know, AdSense isn't what it used to be. What these MCNs will say is, hey, you're not getting these ads from Nike and from United Airlines, but we can get them for you. But we're going to take 30% of the deal, which is actually fine. Most creators like myself would agree to that. And so I actually got deep in conversations with BBTV about a year ago where I had said, okay, let's work together. You bring me some ad reads. You can keep 30%, you can keep 40%. Bring me some ad reads. And you know what happened is, oh, sure, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll do that. But we need you to connect your account. We need you to connect your AdSense account to our stuff, which I said, absolutely not, because I know once it's connected to you, I'll probably never get it back. And so the whole thing kind of reeked and I didn't sign up with them. This is clearly the deal they offered Ethan, but Ethan was moving Ethan was clearly using it so he could get out of the Israeli banks into the United States banks. The way the contract is read to him by him, here's what they say. You know, Ethan Klein was supposed to get 100% of every dollar he earned, both through Google Ads as well as Google subscriptions. Now, it says Google subscriptions, but what this really means is memberships. Okay. So YouTube, they're saying you get 100% of this Google subscriptions. Well, it turns out over the past, I don't know how, I mean, come on, Ethan, you got to watch your wallet a little closer than this, bud. But over the past, I don't know how many months, he said, as far back as December 2020. So this dude didn't notice for 3 years, which is shocking to me because if somebody was pulling 30% of my revenue off my paycheck, I would notice the very first month. But maybe his, I assume his checks are gigantic. Okay, this is what can tell, this is why he's earning so much money. He probably doesn't even notice, which is probably why they thought they could get away with it. So he wrote this email saying, "I hope this email finds you well. I'm writing you today, pressing matter, blah, blah, blah. I'm reviewing our financial records, and I've discovered a significant discrepancy in the sponsorship revenue that has been remitted to the H3 podcast. It appears that Broadband TV has been withholding 30% of the sponsorship money going back to as far as December 2020, possibly even earlier. The total amount withheld from us, as far as our records allow us to track, is $620,000. As you are well aware, our agreement with Broadband TV, which was established in 2017, clearly states that 100% of all revenue goes to the H3 podcast. The only exception to this would be the Broadband TV directly brought us a third-party sponsorship, in which case your company would receive a cut of that specific revenue." And I can say, as somebody who has negotiated with BBTV, this is the same offer I negotiated with them too. I said, "You keep telling me that you're going to bring me all these premium AAA sponsorship deals. If you do that, I will give you 30% of it. Okay, but otherwise, why would I let you in my house at all?" Right? So this is clearly probably part of why he agreed to do it. It has become apparent that this understanding has not been respected. I'm deeply concerned. I'm currently assuming that this discrepancy is a result of an honest mistake, which we now know is not. That will need to escalate and will not need to escalate the situation further. However, I must stress urgency and the gravity of this matter." So he says, "You stole $620,000 from me. Bro, I need you to give me that money back because you're not entitled to that. And according to the contract, as far as I read it, they are not entitled to that either. On top of that, they essentially ghost him. When they finally do pick up a phone call, it's some underling who is saying, tough cookies. We're not going to give you your money back. So now the only solution Ethan Klein has is to fully demonetize his channels, create a new AdSense account from scratch, sever the relationship with BBTV. If you want to do the math, $600,000 is 30% of the revenue just from memberships over a couple of years from him. He's probably losing several hundred thousand dollars in this transition. This is a huge, again, I don't agree with Ethan's political takes. I think he, when people he disagree with, I think he relies far too much on personal attacks. But this is pretty bad. This is a huge amount of money. Not only the 600K that they stole from him, but also potentially how much money he's now going to lose after having to like willingly demonetize his entire channels, remonetize them at whatever point that happens. Who knows how long that will take? And then he's going to have to remarket to everybody to become a member again. Almost certainly, those numbers will not be as high as they were. So I do, I know a lot of people. Ethan's not going to get a lot of. He's not going to get a lot of love from my viewers. I understand that, but principles matter, and this is a pretty brutal one. Hopefully, he can get his money back. And just if nothing else, please, please, please use this as a reminder. Do not join any MCNs under any circumstances. They had zero value. Wow, this has been you all are doing so great. Make sure you leave a like on the video because I know you're going to love this topic. It would appear that Bud Light is literally in hiding. They are getting so ruthlessly ratioed on everything they post on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, that they've just issued a company-wide, what's the word? Like, cease all communications. They haven't posted in almost a week. Now, one wonders if that's what you would call inclusive marketing if you're the VP over there at Budweiser. I honestly think if the pressure stays up, seriously, you're going to start to see some real change. Like, really, seriously, real change. And I just don't understand it. How do you go this directly after your customers? It's one of the most insane things I've ever seen. That's why I have Coffee Brand Coffee. And you all, by the way, are going so hard supporting it. We're setting sales records every day because, wildly, we don't hate our customers. We love our customers. And we also don't care how our customers vote or any of that kind of stuff. Look at this. Bud Light loses its fizz. Beer Giant has not posted on social media for more than a week amid the Dylan Mulvaney partnership that sparked furious backlash. They have not tweeted since April 1st or posted on Instagram since March 30th. Now, here's the thing. They even skipped out on the ad-heavy NCAA tournament title game. I'm telling you that this is a bigger backlash than anyone really thinks about. Like, this is a disaster for Bud Light. A week after causing controversy with their sponsorship deal with Dylan Mulvaney, Bud Light has yet to post anything new on social media. And by the way, they were very active on social media. This isn't like Apple where they just never post anyway. Bud Light was very active. The decision to work with Mulvaney appeared to anger some loyal customers, including country singer Travis Tritt, who made the decision to remove all the products from his tour bus, Kid Rock, who angrily lashed out some cases of Bud Light, and also John Rich, I believe. The beer giant's last tweet came April 1st when they posted, "Beer's on us. Must be game time. For a chance to win, cheer on your team, blah, 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 blah." While they have gone a few days without tweeting in the past, the at Bud Light is typically fairly active as they are on their other regular social channels. The feed had tweeted 10 times in the prior 7 days, so an average of more than once a day, and is usually active during large sporting events. On April 2nd, the next day, Mulvaney posted a video across her social media announcing the deal and promoting the contest that gave drinkers a chance to win $15,000. The Instagram currently has 11,000 comments, many of them unhappy. Given that the actual partnership with Mulvaney was unveiled during March Madness, the annual NCAA basketball tournament, it's notable that the brewer did not tweet at all during the University of Connecticut's victory over San Diego State in the championship game on April 3rd. The famous beer hasn't posted on their main Instagram feed since March 31st and have not posted on their Facebook since March 30th. Bud Light's parent company, Anheuser-Busch, has also gone without posting since April 1st. This is not a coincidence. And I'm going to show you why. Make sure you leave a like on this video, though. I want you posting down there, too. We got to keep the pressure up. Mulvaney has broken their silence, saying it's hard to see the light now after the week I've been having, hitting back at critics in a defiant song after receiving backlash for both Bud Light partnerships and her Nike bra deal. I'm sure that she is, or that he is, Dylan Mulvaney is wiping those tears with $100 bills. He captioned the clip that has 1.1 million plays. "It's hard to see the light right now. The song felt fitting for the week I've been having. All is well. Cheers." The post was of them singing "No One Is Alone" by Stephen Sondheim, from the musical Into the Woods. Mulvaney, who uses the pronouns "don't care," and Daily Mail has reached out. But you see so many of these other posts, right? Drewski and Bud Light, paid partnership. "You think you can carry a round of Bud Light better than this? Share a video. Blah, 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 blah," right? First reply, "My local bar can't give it away and have turned off their ordering. The bar does about $5 million a year in revenue." I mean, this, and I shared that story about my local. Like, I'm not saying that you got to be, go out of control and be aggressive when you see somebody drinking Bud Light, but maybe just inform them what they're supporting. Several former customers filmed themselves pouring the beer down the sink and toilet, while others emptied their fridge and the product into bins. Some fans of Mulvaney said they love the direction Bud Light was going in to be more progressive. Yeah, but they don't drink Bud Light. They spend $30 on avocado toast and drink unlimited mimosas on more Mimosa Tuesdays. They're not drinking Bud Light. They're not picking Bud Light as their chaser with their Bloody Marys. They're getting, well, Stella Artois, I suppose, is Anheuser-Busch. Maybe they're getting that. Well, company has stood behind the TikTok star, who has been accused of dressing in a childlike way, with more than 10 million followers, with Anheuser-Busch saying the cans were a personal gift to her. They added that she is one of hundreds of influencers that the company partners with. Well, this was a specific choice, wasn't it? And when you have Travis Tritt coming out, Kid Rock, you're not talking about somebody who, like, you have, for example, Dylan Mulvaney, who has, I don't know, a million followers or more or something, right? And then you have, I don't know, Travis Tritt, who might have a million followers, right? What is the percentage of their followers that were currently drinking Bud Light? Dylan Mulvaney, probably less than 1%. Travis Tritt, I bet you 10 to 15%. They certainly didn't have a negative opinion of it. Kid Rock. Now, you're talking about people who have huge bases. That's even me. You know what I mean? Like, my videos about Bud Light have been doing very well because they resonate with my viewers. The Nike thing didn't seem to get as much of a backlash, which is curious, but it's kind of a bummer because you had a lot of actual female athletes come out and speak against it. Former Olympians were speaking out against it. But I mean, this is, again, I talked about this earlier. Their stock is down 2.35% in the past 5 days, down a full two points today. It's creeping back a little bit in post-hour trading, but I suspect that the longer this boycott stays up, the more this is going on. And if you want to know why Bud Light isn't posting, let's just take a look. Okay, here's a post that they had March 14th. So I'm saying that this post, they've foregone millions of dollars in advertising during the NCAA tournament, worth of advertising. You know, advertising on Twitter and doing promoted tweets, who knows? But you have this last post here. Beers on us, must be game time. Let's see, 700 likes. Wow, good for them. 12,000 comments. Tyler Fisher, I'll be transitioning to a different beer company. Day six of girlhood sponsored by Bud Light. Just dropped in for the ratio. Hard pass. This is your demo now. Way to kill a franchise. Look at this ratio. People don't want this for free. You can't give it away. It's not even fit for the sewer system. Bud Light, biohazard, disgusting company. I drank 15 Bud Lights and Dylan still looked like a dude. 5,000 comments. I mean, well, there goes my 40 plus years association with Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch. It's all local breweries for me for here on out. I've been drinking Bud Light for more than 20 years. Sadly, I had my last one yesterday. Deciding on a new non-Bud owned alternative today. You're talking about actual serious numbers of people that are just not buying the product. We've shown these videos of people who, you know, are in the local grocery stores and they're not buying it and it's stocking up the shelf. You see, nah, hard pass for life. You see, Bud Light, I like your Trans Day of Vengeance shirt. Budweiser's dead to us. I don't even go for craft beer, but today I picked, okay, let's see. 100 comments. Anybody supporting it is certainly getting completely ratioed. No Budweiser in my house anymore. How insulting to real women. You clearly don't know your target audience. Switching to Miller Lite, unbelievable. Miller Lite's pretty woke too, to be honest with you. But my position is just simply, by the way, leave a like on the video right now if you haven't. Keep the pressure up. I'm so happy for everyone getting involved in this. I know that other beer companies might be woke, but at least you're not buying Bud Light. You're still hurting their bottom line for now. You can worry about finding the perfect replacement eventually. But, you know, why do you hate women? No thanks. I mean, you have helped millions of people stop drinking. Well done. I mean, just everybody in here, this is why they're not posting on social media. They literally cannot post on social media without getting ruthlessly ratioed. The longer this stays going on, the more money they're going to lose. And think about the position that they're actually in now because of this. They either have to come out and say, we disavow Dylan Mulvaney, which would be mainstream self-deletion style. You know, like it would be an absolute disaster for them as a company. Or they can just continue to take a pounding on social media for months. Eventually, when they repost again, people are going to remember, and they're going to go hard again. That's just the way this works. So I'm absolutely here for the roosters, you know, the coming home to roost. People need to stay vigilant, start replacing Bud Light, keep reminding other people who are drinking Bud Light that they should literally try anything else. It's not like Bud Light is some high quality product. And let's just see just how long Bud Light goes before they finally post again. It's been a fun game. Keep it up, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.